You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the wall, DACA, worker visas, all these points and more have come up over time in the immigration debate in this country. We'll look at the recent history of the immigration debate in the United States. First, it was less than a month ago that President Trump announced he would withdraw all 2,000 U.S. troops from Syria, declaring that ISIS has been defeated. The move was met with criticism from some Republican lawmakers and military experts who said a pullout could allow ISIS to regroup. It also partially prompted the resignation of Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. Since the president's announcement, the U.S. and its coalition partners have ramped up strikes against ISIS, destroying and damaging dozens of facilities and fighting positions. The U.S. has been fighting ISIS in Syria since 2014. The group has reportedly lost about 95% of the territory it claimed back then, but an August report from the Pentagon said there were about 15,000 ISIS fighters left in Syria. Last month, we talked with a New York Times journalist who was critical of Trump's decision to withdraw. Now we get a different perspective. Robert Spencer is the director of Jihad Watch and a fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He's the author of several books, including his latest, The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. He wrote a piece in the Front Page magazine on U.S. troops in Syria. Robert, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, your title of that piece was Trump is Right to Withdraw from Syria. So make the case, 2019, why withdraw the troops from Syria now?
Well, the arguments against withdrawing the troops from Syria are all based on the possibility, or likelihood even, that bad things will happen in the wake of our withdrawal. But this is a council of despair. Bad things are always going to happen, and they're going to happen whether we stay there or not, and when we withdraw, whenever we withdraw. And so what the people who are denouncing this are essentially saying is that we have to stay there forever, with no end point, no goal, no definition of what would constitute victory. And this is something I think that the United States simply cannot sustain.
The president had initially wanted all the troops out. He said now initially, then 30 days. That's been slowed down. Some reports saying 4 months or so. What do you think about the timetable for pulling the troops out of Syria?
Whenever he does pull them out, the people who have made up the Islamic State, ISIS, and other jihad groups are going to try to take advantage. We still have troops in Iraq, and if they do end up starting to regroup in any significant manner, then those troops will be able to handle that problem. So it really doesn't matter whether he does it now or in 4 months or in 6 months or in 3 years, the result is going to be the same. The idea that we can completely eradicate ISIS and destroy all the allegiance to it among the people who are allied to it with it in Syria or sympathetic to it in Syria is ridiculous, particularly in light of the fact that there's been no effort whatsoever to confront it on ideological grounds.
One of the big concerns raised by people who support Jim Mattis and his resignation, among others, is the United States' Kurdish allies in Syria, a fear about what's going to happen to them once the U.S. withdraws. Those Kurdish fighters are very worried about that themselves. What concerns do you have on that front?
Well, what I think is interesting about that is that the same people would say that we have to maintain our NATO alliances, and we're very upset with Trump when he said a couple of years ago that NATO was obsolete. And yet within NATO is Turkey, and it is Turkey that would be victimizing the Kurds. So they're going to have to decide, and the United States as a whole is going to have to decide whether Turkey is still a reliable ally. But here again, if Turkey were to move decisively against the Kurds, then we have troops in Iraq that can handle the situation. And the idea that we have to stay in any place that might be taken advantage of or exploited by our enemies when we leave is something that ultimately is going to end up destroying the United States military and possibly the United States itself, because it simply isn't sustainable on any consistent basis.
Talking to Robert Spencer about a piece he wrote in Front Page magazine titled Trump is Right to Withdraw from Syria, talking about the president's announcement that he would withdraw U.S. troops from Syria. We heard in response to that initial decision, Senator Lindsey Graham raising concerns that the winners here of a U.S. withdrawal would be Russia, Iran, ISIS, and the Assad regime in Syria. Now, he's been supportive of this slowdown in the troop withdrawal. What do you say to that concern that this is going to help Iran maybe in particular?
Well, the thing is that the Assad regime has been a client of Iran for years. It's not as if they're going to become a client of Iran now if we leave. We're not preventing their being a client from Iran even as we speak right now. They are at this point. And so the idea that if we're gone, this is somehow going to happen is based on a lack of awareness of the facts on the ground. The fact is that our troops aren't fighting Assad now or the Iranians. And Obama, during his administration, actually gave weapons and money to jihad groups, sometimes with direct links to al-Qaeda itself, in order to have them fight, here again, not against Assad, but against ISIS, which they ended up not doing because they were more allied with ISIS than they ever were going to be with us. The point here is that there's no real good guy in this. This is not a white hats and black hats situation. There are no forces there that we can point to and say, these people are pure, they have not committed atrocities, and we should therefore support them. The Iranians are already there. We can work against them in other ways. And the others that might take advantage as well can be dealt with more efficiently outside Syria than within it.
Some people might point toward some of the Kurdish fighters in Syria as maybe not pure white hats, I guess, but as reliable allies of the United States we wouldn't want to abandon.
Yeah, sure. And I'm not counseling abandoning them. But here again, I think we have troops in Iraq we can deal with, and a lot of the pressure on the Kurds can be taken care of if we make it very clear that Erdogan has to stop this adventurism or lose his NATO status.
Now, moving toward a bigger picture, in your piece, you say that it's not just Syria. We need to rethink, to reevaluate some basic assumptions of U.S. foreign policy and our deployment of the military. What kind of things are you looking for?
I'm talking about the whole framework of the interventions into Iraq and Afghanistan, and to a much lesser degree in Syria. In Syria, after all, we are just talking about 2,000 troops. It's not really a significant number. But in Iraq and Afghanistan, of course, there were the massive invasions and the occupations that went on for years, still going on in Afghanistan. Now, what's going to happen when ultimately we leave Afghanistan? The Taliban that we went in to topple is going to regain more control over more of the country, and it might well topple the Kabul government and take power there again, which would mean that we've completely wasted our time, our fighting forces, those who were killed, our materiel, our resources, billions, trillions of dollars. For what? For nothing. The whole thing was wrongheaded from the start. We went in thinking, and this was, of course, the Bush administration doctrine, that we'd be welcomed as liberators and we would be able to set up Western-style secular democracies that would become oceans of stability, islands of stability, anchors of stability, I should say, in the Middle East and in the larger region in terms of Afghanistan. Now, this didn't happen, and it was never going to happen because it was based on a lack of knowledge of the allegiance of the people to Islamic law and the idea that Islamic law should be the only legitimate basis for a government. So the whole thing, the adventurers were wrongheaded from the start. We thought we could buy allegiance by building schools and hospitals and roads and so on. None of it has worked out, and now there's no definition of victory, no understanding of what we're even there for, no objective, no goal. These things are just sapping our resources to no good purpose.
We're talking about President Trump's decision to pull U.S. troops out of Syria. Our guest, Robert Spencer, supports that move. He wrote about it in Front Page magazine. You can join us at 800-642-1234. Is it time for the U.S. to get out of Syria, or do you think U.S. troop presence is still needed there? What do you think is going to happen if and when U.S. troops are gone in Syria, or is it really not our concern? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up that conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Robert Spencer about President Trump's decision to pull U.S. troops out of Syria. He wrote a piece for Front Page magazine on the topic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. 1, 2, 3, 4. Do you support the president's decision? Or are you worried it could be a mistake? What should America's role be, if any, with regard to Syria, with troops in the Middle East in general? How worried are you about ISIS here or there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll go to our callers now. Vern is with us in Boyd. Vern, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. On Afghanistan, it's kind of like the Russians being there. You can't win a war in a vast territory that's tribal in nature, and they have the help of Pakistan next door to them. You know, they knew Obama and bin Laden was there. We can't win any war in Syria or Afghanistan, and probably not Iraq either. It's cost us probably $10 trillion for nothing, and everybody's supplying them with weapons. And there's no end in sight. It's broken us economically, and we're spending 45% of our industrial production on tanks and stuff that, you know, they put heavy equipment there, they leave it there, and it's just costing us a fortune. It's breaking the United States economy.
Vern, thanks for the call. Robert, Vern, more or less on the same page with you.
Yeah, I think Vern couldn't be more right. The fact is that Osama bin Laden, let's remember, when he was explaining why he hit the towers and Washington on 9/11, he said that he wanted to destroy the United States economically. And I think in that sense, 9/11 was a remarkable success for al-Qaeda. Our resources have been squandered on these no-win situations that have not made us stronger but have only made us weaker. What we should have done was adopt a modified version of the old policy of containment that was used against the Soviet Union in the Cold War and concentrated on preventing jihad terrorists from entering the United States rather than go on these misadventures that were designed to build democratic nations in areas that were never going to accept that.
Thanks for that call, Vern. One of the arguments from the George W. Bush administration was along the lines of fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them here. The idea that an American troop presence in Afghanistan in particular, I guess, disrupted the activities of a group like al-Qaeda, maybe a group like ISIS now, so that they were less of a threat here in the United States. Was there anything to that?
Not really, no. There have been far more jihad plots and attacks in the United States than probably most people are aware of. They know about the Boston Marathon, maybe the Fort Hood massacre when there were 13 people at Fort Hood in Texas gunned down by actually a U.S. Army psychiatrist. There were four people killed in Chattanooga. There was the San Bernardino attack, many, many others. So it isn't as if we've really prevented them from coming over here or striking over here. At the same time, also, even when you've got ISIS, it's very good news. There's no doubt that ISIS has lost most of its territory in Iraq and Syria. However, they know that they've lost most of their territory, and they have shifted their focus, calling upon Muslims in the United States to mount lone wolf terror attacks against civilians. So this, in a certain sense, paradoxically, fighting them over there is making it harder to fight them over here and making them more of a threat over here. I'm not saying that we should not have done it. I'm all for having wiped out ISIS in the Middle East, but we shouldn't have any illusions that that means that everything is going to be okay.
Back to our callers now. Carol is with us in Milwaukee. Carol, hi.
Hello. I agree with the writer that we should get out of Syria, and I think we are wasting umpteen dollars on all our interest in the rest of the world while we are suffering here in Milwaukee with people who have to go to food banks and homeless people and all sorts of suffering that we don't have money for in Milwaukee, but meanwhile, they have umpteen billions and billions, and they want more billions. So I just think all of our exploits are leading us where Rome was led. They had a lot of territory that was way beyond the limits of Italy itself. They went all over the place, the Romans. It was very expensive, and in the end, they went down. We're going to go down even faster than they did.
Carol, thanks for the call. Carol sees U.S. Involvement around the world as an existential threat, it sounds like, Robert.
Well, there's a great case to be made for that. I mean, the drain on our economy is inarguable. And what really have we gained by being in Iraq, well, we're not in Iraq now, except with a small force, but in Afghanistan all these years, and in Iraq all those years before the pullout. Neither place became more stable or more of a reliable American ally. They're just as much of a morass as they were before, and there is still terror activity being plotted in both.
Thanks for the call, Carol, at 800-642-1234. Talking to Robert Spencer about his piece in Front Page Magazine, supporting President Trump's decision to pull U.S. troops out of Syria. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. Kenneth joins us next in Janesville. Kenneth, hi.
Hello. Pulling out is going to go back to square one, where we were setting up an Islamic State that's going to, do what they did before. But we should use it to train our troops like the Germans did before World War II in Spain, to train our troops in actual combat, because this holy war is going to go on for the next 100 years, and we have to decide what we want to do, and we're going to have to learn to fight them really well.
Kenneth, thanks for the call. Robert, what do you say?
Well, I think that there's something to be said for that, but at the same time, I'm not sure that our troops are getting the kind of training that they need. The rules of engagement, particularly in Afghanistan, have hamstrung their ability to deal with the threat that the Taliban poses. And as far as them setting up Islamic States, Assad, there's no doubt Assad's a terrible guy and a vicious, brutal, autocratic ruler. At the same time, he's not like ISIS or al-Qaeda. He's not even a Muslim. He's an Alawite. And the Christian minority in Syria actually enjoys better rights and a better life in his domains than in the other areas of Syria that were controlled by other groups. So there's a case to be made for just letting it alone and, from a human rights standpoint, allowing this autocratic ruler to continue simply because he's better than the alternative. But we are going to be fighting this jihad war for at least 100 more years. As I show in the history of jihad, it's been going on for 1,400 years. Today's jihad groups consider themselves to be the children and heirs of those earlier fighters, and they are very patient. So this is really, ultimately, whether we stay in Syria or not, they're going to be still there, and they're going to be still active. We need to start to deal with the threat that they pose in a more knowledgeable and carefully strategized manner than we have been up to now.
Now we have President Trump making this decision. I think I saw a possible opponent of his in an election, Senator Elizabeth Warren, supporting that decision. Sometimes a troop withdrawal idea like this brings together people from the right and the left in opposition to, I guess, kind of a centrist establishment view of foreign policy. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. For the most part, for the last 17 years since 9/11, the Republican establishment and the Democrats have agreed that this interventionism is wise. But its results have been catastrophic. And so Trump and Elizabeth Warren paradoxically agreeing on this, they're both right. This is self-defeating, and it's making us weaker. It's not helping, so we need to abandon this whole strategy.
What do you see next? What kind of timeline? You said you're okay with just about any timeline that comes from the White House. What would be your advice on how best to withdraw from Syria?
Under the cover of darkness, without making any announcements, Obama withdrew from Iraq with great fanfare and set a date and so on, and that was just an invitation to the jihad groups to exploit that and to make hay right after we left. The best way to do this, whenever it's done, is such that nobody even notices we're gone right away.
And this is all happening in this backdrop of kind of a regional conflict between Saudi Arabia and Iran. The United States, a stronger ally of Saudi Arabia, obviously an opponent in the region of Iran. Do you think we should be playing a role in that balance of power there?
Yeah, absolutely, because Iran has designs upon much larger quarry. Of course, every Friday in the mosques, the people are actually ordered by the government to chant "Death to America, Death to Israel." And in my book, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran, a few years ago, I quote government officials saying, "These are not just slogans. This is our policy. These are our goals." And we have to understand that, and Trump is right to work to limit the power of Iran, but there are far more efficient and effective ways to do it than to keep a token force in Syria.
Let's take another caller. Jerry is with us in Stockbridge. Jerry, hi.
Hi. I'd like to comment. I mean, apparently your guest is aligned with Trump and his allies. Me, I'm in line with the American troops, the American officials that are in the know on military and the position, people like Mattis. And as a political foil, we don't have enough allies in the Middle East as it is. And this is a blatant betrayal if we pull out on the Kurds, who have been steadfast allies for quite a while. And basically, if we abandon this, all it is an open door for Putin.
Jerry, thanks for the call. Robert, in our last few moments, respond, please.
Yeah, the Mattis approach has been tried for 17 years. It has no successes. It has nothing to show for itself, and it needs to be abandoned sooner rather than later.
Thanks for the call, and Robert, thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure. Thank you.
That's Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He's the author of several books, including The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. We talked with him about a piece he wrote in Front Page magazine looking at President Trump's decision to pull U.S. troops out of Syria.